But guess what? They were not committed. They just came to observe. They came to be entertained. They came to be fed. But they had no commitment to the Lord. Amen. The 70, they were disciples. They were disciples. And Jesus anointed them and sent them out to do the work of the ministry. And when they came back rejoicing. And they said, Master, even the demons are subject to him, to your name. And Jesus said to them, do not rejoice that you cast out devils. But he said, rejoice that your name is written in heaven. Amen. Praise God. And then he had the 12. Amen. And they were closer to him. You know, before he ascended into heaven, he gathered them, excepting Judas. Of that 12, you had a Judas. And it was so for God's purpose. God put Judas there to betray Jesus. Amen. It was in accordance with God's purpose. So, you know, but he called the 12 together and he said, behold, I give unto you power to tread upon serpents and upon scorpions and over every power of the enemy. And he said to them, and you shall be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in Judea, Samaria, and unto the uttermost parts of the earth. He gave them a tremendous responsibility to take the gospel to the uttermost parts of the earth. These were men who had committed themselves to Jesus. They had left all. They left mother. They left father. They left all to follow Jesus. That was the 12. And then there were the 3. Amen. That he took with him on the Mount of Transfiguration. Amen. They saw revelations. They saw things that no other person has ever seen in the presence of our Lord. Amen. Praise God. And so, brethren, you know, I say to you this morning that, you know, the earth, the world is changing. The world is changing. And, you know, being a Christian is no longer a popular thing. It's no longer. There's a time when, you know, it was a very popular thing to be a Christian. And, you know, it's like you had stars on your shoulders. But today, it's like a curse to be a Christian. The world, not in God's sight, but in the sight of the world is hating Christians more and more because the God of this world is taking a stronger hold on the hearts of people. And people are turning away from God. People are haters of God. But you and I can decide what group we fall into. Amen? Are we part of the crowd? Are we just looking for signs and wonders? Are we just looking to be fed? Are we just looking for what we can get from Jesus? And may I caution you, be careful what you are telling people about Jesus. Some people are telling people that if they come to Jesus, all their problems will be taken away. They'll get a house, they'll get a wife, they'll get a car. But let me tell you, it's not so for everybody. It's not so for everybody. Amen? Not so for everybody. Be careful. There are a lot of people who are abandoning their faith because they have been promised by preachers that if they accept Jesus, everything will be fine. But the Bible says that there will be trouble and distress. It says, many are the afflictions of the righteous. God has promised that many are the afflictions of the righteous. But it didn't stop there. It says, but the Lord shall deliver him, and that includes her, out of them all. Amen? We must preach the correct gospel. The gospel of the kingdom. So, we are on a journey. Amen? And today, I want to share with you from the topic. This year, our theme is the kingdom. Repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. Amen? The kingdom of God is at hand. And I'm going to be doing a lot of teaching on the kingdom of God. Amen? A lot of teaching on the kingdom of God, because that is what it's all about. Today's message is entitled King Jesus and His Kingdom. Hallelujah. Let's look at this. King Jesus and His Kingdom. Amen. Now, we need to understand that Jesus is a king. In fact, He is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Amen? He's the King of Kings and He's the Lord of Lords. Praise God. Amen. You know, some people say that Jesus is a slave ship from Africa. Well, that's from the devil. Jesus is a king. Amen? And He's the King of Kings. And He is the Lord of Lords. Amen. Now, watch this. It says, Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea. And I want you to take note of the words Bethlehem in Judea. That's very important. Very important. It's prophetic fulfillment. Amen. You need to understand that Jesus was not a buck up. It was not a last minute plan by God. That this was planned from the very beginning. Amen. So it says, was born in Bethlehem in Judea during the reign of King Herod. Amen. And I want you to note there, King Herod. Praise God. It says, about that time, some wise men from eastern lands arrived in Jerusalem. Hallelujah. Now, if you notice, it says, some wise men. Tradition has it that it was three wise men. That's not scriptural. Three wise men is not scriptural. Amen? So let's put that out. It says, some wise men. Amen? Praise God. And do you know that wise men still seek Jesus? Amen? In other words, if you and I are wise, we'll be seeking Jesus. Amen? Hallelujah. Praise God. About that, it says, some wise men from eastern lands arrived in Jerusalem asking, where is the newborn king of the Jews? We saw his star as it rose, and we have come to worship him. Hallelujah. Praise God. Who knows that Jesus is to be worshipped? Amen. Jesus is not a boopsy. Amen. Some people may call Jesus to be a boopsy. If you want this and you want that, you come to Jesus. But Jesus is to be worshipped. Amen? Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. Next slide, please. Praise God. Now watch this. Matthew, this is a quotation from a commentary, a Bible commentary. Let us look at it together. Amen? We're doing some study this morning. Amen? It says, Matthew says, in the book of Matthew, Nothing of the events in Nazareth, as recorded in Luke 1:26-56, possibly wanting to emphasize Jesus's Davidic background. Amen. Davidic background. He begins with the events that happened in David's hometown. Now, David, remember David was King David, and that Jesus was to be born of the line of David. Amen? Hallelujah. So it says here that it's called Bethlehem in Judea, not only to distinguish it from the town of the same name about 7 miles northwest of Nazareth, but also to emphasize that Jesus came from the tribe of Judah. Judea is from the tribe of Judah. Amen. Hallelujah. So he was born in the same town as David was born, and he came from the tribe of Judah. It says, and territory that produced the line of Davidic kings. Amen? So Jesus came from the line of Davidic kings. Amen? In terms of his earthly ancestry through Joseph. Amen? Hallelujah. Now, the Magi realized that Jesus was born a king. Now, you need to understand that. Amen. There's a difference between being born a king and being coronated a king. Or made a king. He was born a king. Understand that. Amen? He was born a king. I hope everybody get that. Amen? Praise God. He was born a king. Not that he will become one later on. King of the Jews indicate the Magi were Gentiles. Matthew wants to show that people of all nations acknowledge Jesus as King of the Jews. In other words, the Magi, they were from the east. And they acknowledged that Jesus was the King of the Jews. Amen? And may I say, that includes the Jews that are presently in Jerusalem. Amen? You know, I'm amazed. I was talking to a pastor on Saturday. And I was mentioning about a denomination that believes in replacement theology. What is replacement theology? Replacement theology is a belief that the church, the Christian church, has replaced the Jews, and that the Jews are no longer God's people. That's replacement theology. And to my shock and my surprise, he said, our denomination believes that also. I said, what? The Holy Spirit brought a scripture to me. I said, you know, remember, Jesus said, we the church are grafted in. We are grafted in. He did not do away with the Jews and replace us, the church. Replace them with us, the church. We were, he cut off a branch and he grafted us. Anybody ever watch when you graft like East Indian mango and Julie mango tree? The mango tree have on Julie tree, Julie fruit, and it have on East Indian fruit. Amen? It doesn't reject the Julie, but they're together. Amen? They are grafted in. Amen? So, Matthew, and I want you to, we're just in what? Matthew chapter 7 now? Yeah, Matthew chapter 7. I want you to go back, those who are reading, go back and look at this. Amen? Matthew wants to show that people of all nations acknowledge Jesus as King of the Jews and came to worship him as Lord. Amen? Can you imagine?
He was a baby. And I used to wonder, why is it that they are worshipping a baby? Well, the baby is king. He was born king. Hallelujah. Amen.
And they worshipped him. Praise God. And incidentally, you know, tradition has it that they came and saw Jesus in the manger. That's not true. Look at it. Look at the scripture. It was sometime after they were in a house, and they came to the house bringing their gifts and worshiping Jesus. It's not in a manger. They didn't come to the manger. Amen. You check it out for yourself. Amen. Praise God. Who knows that? We want to throw out all tradition that's erroneous and stick to the word of God. Amen. We want scripture to be accurate and to be right. Amen. Praise God. Rightly dividing the word of truth. Amen. Praise God. Amen. So, hallelujah. Praise God. Now, King Herod, the Bible says in Matthew 2, 3 to 4, King Herod was king of that region. Amen. And the Bible says King Herod was deeply disturbed when he heard this, as was everyone in Jerusalem. Why was he disturbed? Because if Jesus is king, that means that his reign mash up. He was about to be dethroned. That's what he thought. Amen. So he was greatly disturbed. Amen. King. And I'm king. I'll have to find this king. Amen. And that's what he did. He said, he called the wise, the magi, and he said, listen, when you find the king, come and tell me, man, that I too might worship him. He was a liar. He wanted to kill him. Amen. And we're going to say a little about who Herod really was. He called a meeting of the leading priests and teachers of religious law and asked, and I want you to take note of this. Let me say it again. He called a meeting of the leading priests and teachers of religious law. Who are those persons? Those persons are people who know scriptures. Amen. They know the scripture. Amen. And asked, where is the Messiah supposed to be born? Praise God. Next slide. Hear what they say. In Bethlehem in Judea. Where's that? That was where David was born. Amen. In Bethlehem in Judea, of the tribe of Judah. They said, for this is what the prophet wrote. And you know, this is a quote from Micah, the book of Micah. It was written many years before, prophesied many years before. This is what Micah prophesied. He said, and you, O Bethlehem, in the land of Judah. Isn't that awesome? What a prophecy. Amen. Hundreds of years before, Micah prophesied, and you, O Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are not least among the ruling cities of Judah. For a ruler will come from you, who will be the shepherd for my people Israel. Who's that talking about? That's Jesus. He prophesied. Amen. Many years before. Hallelujah. Praise God. And it was the priests and the religious leaders that told Herod that. Amen. Praise God. Amen. So Jesus was no afterthought. This was God's plan from the very beginning, to bring Jesus into the earth. Amen. Hallelujah. Next slide. It says, for the scriptures clearly state, This is John 7:42. The scriptures clearly state that the Messiah will be born of the royal line of David in Bethlehem, the village where King David was born. So scripture backs up scripture. Amen. Scripture backs up scripture. And this was written by Luke, a different writer. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. Next slide. Let's read about Herod. Remember now, when Herod heard about Jesus, the Bible says what? He was greatly disturbed. And he called the Magi and said, when you find him, come and call me. I want to worship him too. Look at what type of a man Herod was. It says here, Herod was a ruthless ruler, murdering his wife, three of his sons, his mother-in-law, his brother-in-law, his uncle, and many others he suspected of treachery, not to mention the male babies in Bethlehem. That was Herod. Amen? That was Herod. Praise God. So we're looking at King Jesus and his kingdom. Amen? And that was just a brief introduction to the with respect to the birth of Jesus and the fact that he was born a king. Amen? And that prophetically, the prophets had prophesied that he would be born in Bethlehem of Judea. And that happened. Amen? Praise God. Alright, now, John the Baptist. In Matthew 3:1-2, it says, in those days, John the Baptist came to the Judean wilderness. You know, I saw that this morning and I said, wow, where did he come? To the Judean wilderness. He came right in the place where Jesus was born, in Bethlehem of Judea. Amen? He came nearby. Amen? In the Judean wilderness. And began preaching his his message was. And I want you to know that the message was, but the message still is. Amen? Hallelujah. What did he say? He says, repent of your sins and turn to God, for the kingdom of heaven is near. Amen? Now the kingdom of heaven, Matthew speaks about the kingdom of heaven, and Luke speaks of the kingdom of God. But guess what? The kingdom of heaven and the kingdom of God is the same thing. The same thing. Amen? Hallelujah. So, watch it. Go back, man. Go back. Praise God. It says, repent of your sins. In other words, if you want the kingdom of heaven to come upon you, if you want the kingdom of heaven to take over your life and your situations, you have to repent. Amen? Repent. Repentance is the key to entering the kingdom. Amen? Praise God. Repentance and being born again, they go together. Amen? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. So, he said, repent of your sins. Of your sins. Amen. You know, I was looking at, I have three scriptures in the front of my diary. And each of them, you know what it says? It says, blessed are those who know that they are sinners. My God. Let me say it again. Blessed are those who know they are sinners. You know, there was a time when I didn't know I was a sinner. Seriously. People come to me and say, sin? Say, what name, sir? Seriously.
it's sin. Fornication. A man couldn't come to me and tell me say fornication is sin. No, that's a manly thing. At that time, that's how I saw it. Yes. Adultery. Not sin. I didn't know that there was a sin. I didn't know that there was something called sin, honestly, as a big man. But one day, the Holy Spirit came and opened my eyes. And I realized that I was a sinner. Amen? Now, that's another step, you know. One, you have those who don't know that they are sinners. Then you have those who know they are sinners. But you have some who knows they are sinners and they don't do anything about it. Are you with me? No, that's bad. Amen? Praise God. For me, you know, God turned on a television screen in my mind and he showed me my sins. And I acknowledge that I'm a sinner. And I ask God to forgive me of my sins and to cleanse me from all unrighteousness. In other words, I not only knew that I was a sinner, but I repented. I repented. I said, God, I am sorry. Forgive me of my sins. And I turned from a life of sin and I turned to God. And by his grace, I have not looked back. I have kept going forward in Jesus. Amen? By God's grace. Amen? So John said, repent. Repent of your sins and turn to God, for the kingdom of heaven is near. You know, the word repentance means to think differently. There was a time when I went, when as far as I was concerned, nothing wrong with fornication. But when I was born again, I said, whoops, fornication wrong. I was now thinking differently. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Amen. For the kingdom of heaven is near. Praise the Lord. Next slide, please. Hallelujah. But watch this now. But when he saw many Pharisees and Sadducees coming to watch him baptize, he denounced them. Now, praise God. You know, some people say that when you're rebuking people, you must be soft and nice. Amen. But Jesus, you know, truth is Jesus was not like that. Amen. So here John, now this is John the Baptist style. Amen. He said, you brood of snakes, he exclaimed, who warned you to flee the coming wrath? You know, verse 8 touches my heart. I hope it touches your heart. Amen. What does it say? It says, prove by the way you live. Oh God. Can somebody say praise the Lord? Praise the Lord. Let me say it again. Can I say it again? Amen. Praise God. He said, prove by the way you live that you have repented of your sins and turn to God. Now, if you're going to prove by the way you live, it means that other people can observe that there is something different in your life. Isn't that so? Yes. So, praise God. So, you know, we have to recognize that as Christians that we're going to be judged. We're going to be judged. And if we claim to have repented and we are not living as God wants us to live, and somebody says, but as a Christian you're not supposed to be doing that, no matter, tell them, well, judge not. Amen. God is saying, you must prove it to people. Prove it to people that you have repented. We are accountable. Amen? Accountable. Amen. That you have repented of your sins and turned to God. The Bible says that the Pharisees, what do you call them? And Sadducees, he called them a brood of snakes. You know why? They were hypocrites. They claimed to be religious people. They claimed to be godly people. But their lives were devilish. That's what snake means. They were devils. Amen? They were devils. Hallelujah. Praise God. You know, I want to be at a place where I don't have to wait on anybody to rebuke me. You see, when I practice the fear of God, then I recognize that even my very thoughts are being assessed by God. My sister can't, she don't know my thoughts. But God know my thoughts. And when I think like that, I am practicing the fear of God. Hallelujah. Amen. Because God knows our thoughts. Amen. You can't fool God. We can't fool God. God knows our thoughts. Then it says, from then on, Jesus began to preach. Whose message that sounds like? Huh? Whose message that sounds like? John the Baptist. The same message. Amen? The same message. Jesus says, repent of your sins and turn to God, for the kingdom of heaven is near. The same message. Amen? Because John was preaching about Jesus' kingdom. Amen? The kingdom of which Jesus is the king. Hallelujah. Amen? Hallelujah. Turn to God, for the kingdom of heaven is near. Hallelujah. Next slide. Watch this. Crowds follow Jesus. Amen? It says, Jesus traveled throughout the region of Galilee, teaching in the synagogues and announcing the good news about the kingdom. We need to tell people about the good news of the kingdom. It's nice for you to tell them about Upper Room Community Church, but let me tell you something. It's better to tell them about the good news of the kingdom. Amen? If the kingdom of God is active here, praise God. They will come. Amen? They will come. Praise God. But tell people about the good news about the kingdom. That means, no. I remember last year I read where Paul stayed in one place 3 months telling them about the kingdom of God. And I said, my God, do I know enough about the kingdom of God to speak to people for 3 months? Well, it's not so complicated. Amen? But the kingdom of God, amen, is what we are to be telling people about. And this is not the kingdom of Jehovah Witnesses. It's not Kingdom Hall. The gospel of the kingdom. Amen? The gospel of the kingdom. And watch this now. It says, announcing the good news about the kingdom. And watch it. And it says, and he healed every kind of disease and illness. You know what? I've been searching the Bible. And every time the gospel of the kingdom is preached, people are healed and delivered in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Every time. And God is saying to us, that's where we need to be as a church. Amen? That's where we need to be as God's people. We need to understand that the kingdom of God is not mere chat, but of power. Amen? Of power. The religious the religious people will say that, you know, it is wrong to ask God to manifest His power. They say it is wrong to ask God to heal. You must just wait, and if God wants to heal 30 days down the road, 30 months down the road, just leave it up to God. But what does the Bible say? The Bible says, you shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. Are you with me? You know, Lord, I lay hands on Sister Donna. If you want to heal her, whenever you feel like healer, Lord, just heal her. Now, shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. Amen? Hallelujah. Praise God. You know, last week, Tuesday, the pastors meet to pray on Tuesday evenings. And we were praying. Had a lovely time of prayer. Amen. Kingdom prayer. And at about 8:15, I was praying. And I lifted up Evangelist Donna, Deacon Gilzine, and Deacon Omita. I lifted them up. Listen to this. And I said, as part, well, this is the only part I remember. I said, Father, in accordance with Isaiah 54:17, I declare that no weapon formed against them shall prosper. No, none of them were there. No weapon formed against them shall prosper, and every tongue that has risen up against them in judgment, I condemn them in the name of the Lord. For this is their inheritance as God's servants, and their vindication is of God. I prayed. The next morning, about 7:30, Evangelist Donna called me. She said, Pastor, were you praying for me last night? And at first I couldn't remember praying for her. And then I said, yes. At about 8:15. And you know what she said? She said at about that time, she had excruciating abdominal pains. Unbearable. And all of a sudden, it just went. And it happened to me the same time that I was praying. And I lifted her up, Deacon Gilzine and Deacon Amita. No weapon formed against them shall prosper. And bam! The kingdom of God was at hand. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. And as I say, listen, thank God for Pastor Muriel. But listen, the kingdom of God is within you.
Hallelujah.
Not just within me. Every born again believer has the kingdom of God inside of them. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. But guess what? Remember, you have to repent. Let me tell you. The Bible says that the same spirit that raised Jesus from the dead, it says that spirit lives within the born again believer. Amen. The same spirit. It is by that spirit that as I prayed, she was delivered. Amen. That same spirit in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise God. So, brethren, can I tell you something? You have to be filled with the Holy Spirit But if you are full of yourself, there is no room for the Holy Ghost. Are you with me? If you are full of yourself, there is no room for God.
We have to empty ourselves of ourselves.
Amen. If we are filled with pride, there is no room for God. If we are filled with anger, there is no room for God. If we are filled with unforgiveness, there is no room for God.
If you're filled with anxiety, praise God. I was reading where, you know what Jesus said about anxiety? He said, you are not like the Gentiles who are filled with anxiety. Anxiety is a phenomenon that's only to be seen among the Gentiles, among the ungodly. The ungodly are not to be practicing anxiety.
Easier said.
Sorry, godly, not among the godly. Amen.
We need to be filled with God. Filled with God. Put God first. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And he says, all these things shall be added unto you.
Amen.
Seek the kingdom first. Seek the kingdom. The King Jesus is the King of the kingdom.